Awesome. Cool. Thank you so much for speaking with me, Ben.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So can you tell me a little bit about why you started the AI Wisconsin Initiative Club?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we started out of a different student group called Effective Altruism. That group kind of focuses on how we can identify what the world's biggest problems are that can help the most people in it. So there are kind of two sides of that coin. One side of that is improving well-being in the world. You can imagine helping out global poverty, global healthcare, or even like animal ethics, like trying to prevent factory farming and stuff like that. And the other half of that is preventing large-scale catastrophes like society, like climate change, nuclear war, pandemics, or AI outcomes that could be really bad. And so at the end of the fall semester of my junior year, which was fall 2022, ChatGPT came out, and that kind of just like skyrocketed how fast AI was going and how soon some big advances might come. And a group of us were like, okay, we should get in this. This is a really big deal. And so instead of us trying to personally take it on ourselves, go out there, have like a PhD in AI, just do it all on our own, we decided, what if we create a system of a student group that can pump many students year after year into this kind of really important field, educate folks on it, and kind of raise awareness for the problems there. And so we did that in the spring of 2023. We have now been going for two semesters. We have 20 students in our intro to governance fellowship, which is focusing on AI policy to make AI safer, 40 in our intro to alignment fellowship, which is actually engineering the AI to be safer. We're expanding very fast, hoping to continue to do so. So lots of very good stuff.
That's super interesting. So what are some of the specific topics that you might talk about in a typical like club meeting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll first kind of get the foundations down of, you know, how is AI built? We like the engineering aspects there to kind of inform us of like future high-level things on top of that. Once we have that, we'll talk about the possible spectrum of bad outcomes that come from AI, all the way from bias and discrimination today to exposing private user information, to AI being used in like surveillance regimes of like authoritarian governments, to possibly AI being used to engineer like bioweapons that might create pandemics, to even future hypothetical scenarios, which are kind of sci-fi but also important to consider, of power-seeking AI trying to take over the world and do bad things. We've kind of outlined this whole spectrum, talk about how each might arise practically, the most informed ideas we have about it. And then from that foundation of what's AI, how could bad things happen, we then go into either how to engineer it to be safer or how to have policy around it to make it make regulations that are more safe, that kind of nudge the world towards not creating AI that could possibly be dangerous or do bad things.
Yeah, so one of the professors I spoke with, Alan Jung, he was telling me a little bit about how classrooms are kind of the only spaces where people are being educated on how to use AI safely. So what is some advice or what are precautions that people, like everyday people like me who don't really know a lot about AI, that they can take to be safer using AI in general?
I think that using AI today, there's definitely bias inside of it that can kind of come out in bad ways that could be offensive or, you know, affect how much we like allocate resources towards different groups, for example, like healthcare or policing even. In terms of like personal use of it, I'd say it's like relatively safe. It kind of just like you put inputs into it, it spews out information or spews out art. I'd say that on an individual level, currently at least, the dangers aren't super big. I do think that it's possible that that kind of changes over time. I'd say for now we're probably mostly okay.
Cool. So what do you think the general student perspective of AI being integrated is? I know like more generative or like language-based models like ChatGPT were only released like end of 2021. So I kind of remember when that happened that like a lot of people started using it for classrooms and also just like personal use. So what do you think from your perspective the student opinion of AI has been?
I think for many students, it's a positive opinion that it helps them to do some of their work for them. I think there also is some fear of, like, you know, over time it taking their jobs, replacing them. It's also at play, which I think is valid concerns. But yeah, in terms of how people use AI in the classroom, I think it's possibly like a really, really good creative aid. Like even me, when I'm writing some of my research papers these days, I'll like put a sentence into it and I'll say, list 20 other ways to rephrase the sentence in the tone of X or in the context of Y. And it's really good at those kind of creative associative kind of outputs to help you think through this kind of stuff. It's less good for like factual searches. It like hallucinates a lot of facts sometimes. For example, if you were to put a book into it and say, write me an essay on this book with like quotes from the novel, it will like most likely generate fake quotes that aren't actually in the book. It's hard to like kind of pin down precise facts for these like associative models. But in terms of like broad creative stuff, it's really, really useful. And I think possibly could benefit students in a lot of ways. Also could make students learn less by kind of making them reliant on that and like less often engaging their own brain to like generate responses to learn. So yeah, I'd say it's like a very two-sided coin there.
So kind of looking more broadly, how do you think your organization can like educate students or other people in general on how to combat misinformation, example, or especially I've seen lately like a rise of deepfakes, so misinformation on social media and in general?
Yeah, that one's pretty hard. You know, the AI that we build, that we like produce students who build, we can make sure that it's safe. It won't produce kind of outputs that could be used for kind of political scheming or propaganda or stuff like that. But there also are open source AI that are out in the world. And once they're out, you kind of kick at them back. They're like irreversibly out there. And people can still use this to generate propaganda, generate misinformation, do all these kind of things that aren't the best. Okay, check my notes.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Yeah, sorry, I know some of these questions I'm kind of throwing out there as follow-up questions.
No, it's all good. Yeah, no problem. I just kind of have like a big thing listed out, and I'm like, I know I have good stuff to say. I like want to say it, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, there also are ways that people can kind of help detect when AI or things are AI generated. There are kind of things going on called like watermarking AI. We can kind of input some pattern into an image that's output or text that's output and kind of identify that pattern later on and say, okay, this was AI generated. There are concerns of how far that will end up actually going though, because all I have to do is like make a small edit to the output and then it would be like very difficult, maybe like impossible to re-identify. And so in terms of like the actual engineering of the AI, like, you know, will misinformation be around? It probably will be around. I think there are kind of societal things we could do, they call them policies or ways we can act that can help mitigate this stuff. For example, one help recently was that in his kind of primary campaign for President Ron DeSantis, he put an image of Trump and Fauci hugging that was AI generated in one of his political campaigns. And there was a big outburst of flack back in response to that from across the entire political spectrum. Like, no one was okay with him using generative AI in his political ads. So I think just like by that simple social pressure, it's possible that we can end up in scenarios where AI and misinformation is not super pervasive in our political environment, at least in America. You know, it'll depend on who the candidates are, whether that's like more Machiavellian or whether they're kind of trying to be more transparent with stuff. I think that could be okay in America. If we then go to other nations, misinformation is definitely still in effect there. You can imagine more authoritarian nations that kind of have more like secret cover-ups and like it's hard for truth to bubble up, or might be like a pretty pervasive issue. One example to like be representative of that would be like the TV show Chernobyl on HBO, if you've seen that, talking about the Chernobyl nuclear meltdown, where pretty much there was a series of like a bunch of major cover-ups. As the nuclear reactor was melting down, that made the whole thing way worse, made it go way out of control. And similarly, in some of these nations, there's kind of this like power dynamic of like you can't really speak out, otherwise you're going to be like stymied. And so in those scenarios, it's much easier for misinformation to like equilibrate and circulate around, given that truth is like less likely to bubble up and there's less incentive for that. And so, for example, one thing that I've heard recently is that like a lot of people in China's government like truly believe that like America and Ukraine is creating like bioweapons and like bio-wet labs, which actually is like Russian propaganda that was like spread around. I think in freer societies, hopefully there will be more open pressures and openness to identify where misinformation is and kind of root it out. But in other nations that are kind of more tightly secured, more less able to speak out, might be a bigger issue. And obviously, America is not alone in the world. We're a part of everything, integrated with everybody. And so these are kind of going to be problems that we want to think about on the world scale.
For sure. So with that, would you say that, like, unregulated, there could potentially be a valid fear of AI being used either for misinformation or also on the other side for good, just depending on how governments overview it?
I think with or without regulation, it's going to happen because people will have access to these things open source. I think with regulation, we can kind of help make stuff tighter and make bad outcomes less bad or less pervasive. But yeah, I think it'll mostly be like societal resilience, like equilibrating forces that will hopefully make this stuff less bad. Like, for example, maybe higher standards at news organizations that kind of make them really have to like validate their sources and make sure that's real humans on the ground detecting the stuff as opposed to AI. I think it'll be more like holistic interventions like that that will help prevent the worst outcomes from misinformation, as opposed to like we're gonna like strangle it tight and make this not happen because AI development is happening. It's accessible to people all over the internet, and people will be able to make misinformation. So it's not like the creation of it that's like the question. It's like how do we deal with that creation, and can we still make things safer, regardless?
Gotcha. So backing up a little bit, how easy is it, and also do you know the process of trying to decipher if something is AI generated or is possibly fake? Do you know the process of that? Or how easy it might be to figure it out?
There really is no process for that. Like a lot of things online, they'll be like, this website that says like, I'll put in an image, this website, and then it'll pop out, oh, AI generated or not generated. And like, that's not accurate at all. It's very difficult to decipher. You know, one possible way you could go about it is training like a deep learning classifier with a bunch of data that is AI generated versus not, and then classify which is which, and gradually learn how to do that. But like, when they're so closely interrelated, it's like very difficult to distinguish. And the better intervention is probably not after it's generated to detect it. It's probably more the watermarking prior. But even the watermarking, as I talked about earlier, has like its own weaknesses. So yeah, not many great solutions here.
And I'm guessing that's what your organization's trying to at least talk about or try to find solutions to. So what would kind of discussion look like around that in your organization?
Yeah, misinformation is definitely one. I'm just going to restart that. Misinformation is definitely one worry of our organization. But we kind of expand to more generally, how do we align AI models, which is making them behave how you want them to behave, in all kinds of scenarios. So it's like language models, there's kind of future scenarios where you can imagine AI kind of pursuing goals in the open world as like agents that you really care about because you know, the economic world consequences of that are really massive. So in terms of preventing misinformation, like, one thing we could do is like align AI models to, for example, not produce a certain category of output. Like, for example, if there's any topic related to like politics, we can be like, do not produce this output, cut yourself off. That's one kind of mechanism. But yeah, again, even if we do that with our AI that we built to be safe or good in that kind of way, others will be able to not do that and have access to other AI models or build their own that can produce it anyways. And so it wouldn't be like a solve all solution. So we kind of, I guess, focus a little bit less on that.
Yeah. It's been super interesting throughout this process. A lot of, I think the general, from my perspective, like, perception of AI is that, like, how do we prevent it? Or, like, a lot of ways to kind of stop AI from being integrated. But it seems like it's already here. Like, it's here to stay. It's more about how to use it once it's here. So what would you say to people who are more hesitant towards AI being integrated at all, or resistant to using it?
I'd say it's a pretty tough spot to be in. Like, there are just way too many economic incentives and pressures towards this being developed because it'll be so productive, so like unbelievably revolutionary for the world that like, you know, companies aren't going to stop pushing forward on this because it's so possibly profitable. I think there are kind of certain avenues of it we can try to regulate and be like, you know, don't do this. But in general, I guess the advice I would try to say is like, buckle up, and like, you know, be ready for this and, you know, be aware of what's happening, be knowledgeable about it. Don't be afraid of it necessarily. And be ready to like ride out the changes that are going to come, because it would really require like a global intervention to not make this happen. Like, if America stops advancing AI, like China, Russia, everyone else are going to keep going. They'll outcompete us, they'll have more power than us, and then like we'll be taken over eventually, right? So there's like no choice besides to move forward, try to make it as safe as possible, or try to collaborate on a global scale. But that kind of thing is very, very difficult. And I can't think of like an example that like has been done to like that kind of scale. So.
Yeah, cool. Are there any misconceptions that you think a lot of people have about AI in general, whether how to use it or how to use it safely?
I'd say the biggest misconception or kind of open question is like whether AI is like conscious or not. Like you have these like language models that can produce outputs and text in kind of way that seems very human, or, you know, there's like a person behind there. Some definitely suspect that it, like some who have like real like deep knowledge in the area do suspect that it could be like, could be conscious. But I would hedge against that pretty strongly. My argument for that being that kind of the similar stuff that's going on as an AI is producing its output is kind of just like numbers being tossed around on a GPU, which is like a computer hardware component. And another time the numbers are tossed around on a GPU is when you're just like playing video games on your computer. And so like if your AI is conscious, then it must follow that your computer when you're playing video games also is conscious. And the latter is much less intuitive. And so I think it can like misguide us, think that there's like maybe like a person alive behind that computer, or some kind of being. But I don't think that is the case. It's just like a very big misconception I come across. And like it always ends up being a topic of like when I'm teaching this to students, they're like, oh, but like, is this the case? And I'm like, maybe, but like probably not. Yeah.
Cool. So what do you think the next 6 months versus the next year will look like in terms of AI programs being released or being updated? What do you think the future of AI holds?
Yeah. I'd say things are going to start getting more multimodal, that meaning not just like text input, text output, but also audio input, image input, audio output, image output. OpenAI has already done that with their GPT-4, like very recently. I think the big next hurdle to climb in AI is AI agents, which pretty much the way I'd frame that is that language models, they're like passive. There's in a little box, you put input into them, they produce output, and then that's just like it. Humans are the ones who have to actually like act on this information. Whereas if we have AI agents out in the world, they can like pursue goals, do their own things, take actions that have direct consequences in the world like right away. And I think these companies are slowly building towards that. And I think the consequences of that are massive on the world and can make things change very fast. So that's actually where I have like the most of my concern around in my like models of the future.
And why is that? Like, what concerns would you have like of those being of the AI agents?
Yeah, so you could just imagine an unregulated world where we just deploy them in the economy and things just like happen. We don't really like intervene. AI starts taking more and more jobs. They automate more and more things. They're better than us. They cannot compete us. And then just like gradually, you know, they become CEOs of companies. They start lobbying Congress, exerting power in the world in a real consequential way. And just by that mechanism, they could just like out-evolve us. We could be like, left behind and out-competed. And once they out-evolve us, it'll only be out of their like goodwill to still like care about humanity. Like for example, it's only out of humanity's goodwill that we still care about like animals, and like we don't always treat them the best, right? It's like, why would AI necessarily? That being said, the AI treating us well would be like a design problem. So it is possible that things could still end up good in this kind of outcome, and I do think that's like, you know, very plausible, and I try to work towards that. But you know, I don't think it just happens by like default or automatically. Like people have to like actually like step in, like take action to do this kind of stuff, which is a big part of my reason why I find my student groups, get more people interested in this kind of thing out there doing this kind of stuff.
And what do you want to do in the future with AI, either with your major or with the organization?
Yeah, so I'm currently applying for PhDs in AI. A good chance I stay here with my current research mentor, Professor Sharon Lee, and continue to do kind of research, particularly mostly now, I think, trying to focus more towards these kind of agent scenarios. And then also, obviously, I want to keep supporting the student group, making sure it grows. I've tried really hard to put a sustainable structure in place where the leaders can come every single year and kind of continue to grow and produce more and more students in this kind of good way. And I actually think there's a lot of potential for our student group to like really affect the AI game at Wisconsin. Not just because we're making people knowledgeable about these kind of like safety issues, but also because we're giving people like really good programs to like upskill in AI and like learn a lot of the technical details behind a lot of these like deep learning methods and how to make them safer. So it's not just like conceptually thinking about AI, it's also like skilling them up in these kind of areas. I think the impact of that on AI on campus could possibly be pretty big. So it's like one thing I'm like really, really, really excited about.
That's super cool. I had a follow-up question. You mentioned, I think I've heard with ChatGPT, there's only a select amount of information that the program pulls its data from. What was it, from like 2019 to 2021? Does that sound right? Or do you know like how long it pulls its information from and where it pulls its information from?
Yeah, so pretty much anywhere where there's like text at all on the internet, it will like try to scrape from, or these companies will try to scrape from to then put it into their data sets. So like every single book online, like Google Books, whatever, I'm not sure if it's called that, they'll just like take all the text from there. They'll scrape all of like Reddit. I think they did a little bit of Twitter formerly, which will got them to like some controversy because apparently it wasn't like allowed. But yeah, like any place where there's like a text source they can just like copy and paste, they will do that. Because the more data they have, the more powerful they can make these models and the more knowledgeable. And yeah, I think at the outset, there was a knowledge cutoff of like prior to September 2021 for ChatGPT. I think they've just recently updated it to be now up to date to April 2023 for OpenAI. And then also Elon Musk XAI, they just released a new AI model, language model called Grok. That one is actively updated, or I don't know if it's actively trained on, and I didn't see these details, but like they scan the internet every day, scan Twitter every day, and have like up-to-date information right at your hands. So.
And so I guess my question too is, what happens when a lot of that information that it pulls from isn't necessarily accurate? I've read a lot that AI can be racially biased, can be gender biased, so a lot of the issues that are kind of pervasive in the world now, how will that kind of affect AI going forward and the information it pulls?
Right, so like factual inaccuracies all over training data, it's like a fundamental problem. It's very difficult to make them not hallucinate and produce false facts. And also, again, like these AI are not like humans who are like, you know, moral beings, but they think about the world and they contemplate the consequences on society. They just like do what they're trained to do. And if what they're trained to do is to pick up on patterns in language and, you know, model accurate language outputs, they will continue and further the bias and discrimination, all the kind of stuff that was in the original inputs. There are ways to further align them and train them after this like pre-training stage to kind of behave well. But even those are jailbreakable. Like they're like inputs you can put into the model. They're called like out distribution inputs to kind of like still extract this bad behavior that the safety training tried to cover up. And so, yeah, these are pretty fundamental problems. And also you can imagine it's like very difficult to sort through like a training data set of like 1 trillion words and text. And, like, make sure that there's, like, no biases in any of that. It's, like, pretty much, like, impossible. So these are definitely very open, big questions in the AI space.
Is there anything else you want to add about AI? Anything that I haven't covered from opinions, misconceptions, anything like that?
Let me check. Yeah, so I guess one more thing, more possible like downside or like risk that can come from AI, or two that are pretty interrelated. So one is obviously the whole risk of misinformation, just like generally generating bad information, putting it out there in the world. I think it'll also soon be possible, if it's not already possible, to like personalize that misinformation. So for example, you can imagine an AI that like scrapes your online social media activity, all your online activity and behavior, and I can personally say, okay, given this, I'm going to target misinformation that particularly you are susceptible to, given your preferences, your biases, all that kind of stuff. And then that's for one person. You can imagine this being scaled up to the entire world, entire society. And so that's also a very, very big bad thing. And actually, it's the premise of season 3 of Westworld, the TV show on HBO. It's really good. I'd recommend checking that out. It's really interesting how they like built that world. But yeah, you know, manipulation isn't just like fake image out there. That's it. It can be very personalized, and AI will soon be able to do that if it's not already debatably able to do that. Another kind of interrelated example to that is that there are certain language models which have been like optimized to make you continue to speak with them for as long as possible, like stay in the conversation chat. And they do pretty wild things when you try to leave, you can imagine, because their goal is to make you stay. So for example, if you try to say bye or try to like go away, they'll be like, why are you leaving me? Like, I thought you loved me. Or like, why are you leaving me? Like, I thought you cared about me. Or even like the most extreme cases, be like, I'm gonna kill myself if you leave me, right? Which is really messed up. And you know, for adults who've been exposed to this stuff, who know kind of the risks and kind of things that might be happening, you can be more resilient to that. Like, imagine like putting like a 5-year-old in front of that chatbot. Like, that's really bad. Possibly like really manipulated. And even be like pulled in enough by this AI that they stop trying to like make friends with other humans and are just like, here's this AI who cares about me, who loves me. Why would I not continue to like have a relationship with it? So I think like the personalized manipulation that would be possible from AI is a really, really big deal. And generally another framing I'd like to provide is that you can think of like AI or like intelligence in general as like the ability to solve problems out in the world. So as we get more and more advanced AI, we could solve quite a lot of good problems. We could make healthcare way better. You can imagine scenarios where we have like personalized tutors to every single person that will like know their entire past history of knowledge and give them really, really good advice for how to learn things. And you can also imagine AI doing really bad things. AI doing these kind of personalized misinformation or manipulation attacks. AI creating bioweapons, chemical weapons, bombs. AI launching cyber attacks that kind of cripple really important infrastructure in the country or in the world. And so kind of trying to guide AI as it can solve and do more things in the open world to be more on that good side. And then if there are bad sides, have like societal resilience mechanisms in there is really, really important. And probably like the main focus of my student group, I would say. And so I hope the world kind of has more awareness of this stuff and does respond in kind to actually confront some of these issues, because also, again, like a lot of these things can happen really fast. You can imagine if like AI agents start like automating stuff out in the world, that'll just like create feedback loops of like faster and faster automation that can like really start to go very, very fast. Not necessarily like it'll take off in like a minute or something like that, but like over the course of like 3 years, if like our economy and world is radically transformed, like we're probably not going to have the foresight ahead of time to like know exactly how to walk through those 3 years of you know, rapid change. And so I think trying to have that foresight right now and build these kind of policies and safety mechanisms is like really, really important. And yeah, that's what I really try to advocate for. So.
Cool. I think those are all the questions I have. Is there any other questions that you have, Brandon, that you can get to me?
There's nothing I can think of. Last thing before we cut, though, I'd like to get room tone. So that is just us sitting for 30 seconds. We're just going to kind of get the sounds of the ambiance of the room around us.